So, designing experiences for personal transformation. We start from the statement that experience design is not only about entertainment. However, most of the time when we are talking about experience design, we might refer to entertainment examples because that's where the experience economy started. So we discussed in the beginning of this course that experience economy is a context where experience design becomes relevant. And Disneyland and other kinds of amusement parks and other kinds of experiential entertainment, like Cirque du Soleil and so on, they are some kind of best examples of the experience economy. Especially because in the experience economy, you basically transform work into theater. You transform something that is dull and boring into something exciting and also entertaining. However, entertainment might not be the purpose of your experience. It may just be one aspect of another purpose. In the famous experience economy book, Pine and Gilmore, they use this quadrants to create four categories of types of experiences. So if you think about experiences that you have to absorb something in a passive way, you get an entertainment. But if you think to absorb something in an active way, like you are doing right now, you're having an educational experience. And we, me and Kylie, we strive for providing you the best educational experience where you can be very engaged and making stuff up. So all this is part of our educational experience design. However, there are less known types of experiences if you are more immersed into the experience, not trying to absorb a content or something. You just don't think about that you need to get something from it. You just are immersed and part of an experience. In a passive way, you get the aesthetic experience. It's like called fruition in art. You are just engaged with some kind of art piece and you are contemplating that, you are feeling, but you're not so much engaged with the art itself. On the other side of the spectrum, you have active and immersive experiences like radical sports that breaks your routine, that brings you to a completely new level of engagement, of new emotions that you haven't, you don't feel in your everyday life, like jumping from an airplane with a parachute. Mm. That's something that you don't feel in everyday life, and that's called escapist experiences. There might be other kinds of experiences, right? I'm not saying that this model is any way good, but that's the only model I could find to show you right now. It's called experience realms. And they use to show that experiences can be much more than just entertainment. So let's see some examples. And I will try to bring some examples that I have a personal connection to it so I can tell you a little bit more about. And also to show you that experience economy is not something from another world or from another country. It's actually something that is happening also right now in Brazil. Here you see aesthetic and a mix of escapist experience organized by some students of our design course. I don't know if you know them, João, Victor, and what's the other guy? I don't remember his name now. Well, they are some students, I think, from the... You know them, right? Do you know them? João Victor? Yeah. Well, all right. They are part from a startup called Coletive. And this startup is organizing experiences and trying to sell experiences. And they did the first round of experimentations in last month. It's called Ocitocina Cultural. They brought people that engaged to the experience into walking through the street and checking out the latest street art. Also knowing how to make a lumbi-lumbi. I don't know how to say that in English. And later on you have a musical experience and you could eat in the party. So all this was a kind of a full ticket for the whole thing. It's kind of simple experience design. However, they are beginning to offer something that is not very common in Curitiba, at least. Other bigger cities have already a full range of experience offering. And if you want to check the best place to see which kind of experience offerings are already in Curitiba, you check Airbnb. Most people don't know that Airbnbs also have experience offering, not just a place to stay, not just a room that you can rent. You can actually engage into experiences. And there is a design student. She is offering your first stencil or your first graphics made using the technique of risography or rhizography. I don't know how to speak that. It's a different kind of Xerox copy making machine that creates some cool graphics. It's a Japanese style. I don't know what's the difference about it. What's the matter? But it's an example of how you can transform something like a product into an experience. So she has the product, this machine, and she's turning into a completely workshop where you're gonna know how to make the best use of this machine to create some kind of a cool artworks. And that part of understanding what cool is about this machine is essential to it. It's much more important than knowing about the pressing the buttons and learning how to operate it. It's about design anyway. However, there are another kinds of websites and new organizations that are being much more pushy and cooperative into selling experiences. This website, Viva, it's targeted at corporate. So companies that want to offer experiences to their employees as a kind of a gift for special occasions. So they have a whole range of experiential kits. So what's happening here? You can see there's even a box for the kits. It's kind of a travel agency for inside your own city, somehow like that, you could say. They have all kinds of radical sports, special dinners, walking on the streets with someone, which is cool, showing you things around. They are mostly entertainment or escapist experiences. And what they are doing is commoditizing those experiences. Commoditizing is one of the processes that goes against the trend in the experience economy, which is customizing experience, turning them more relevant to yourself. Here you see they are even less relevant to yourself. It's different. It's not different from for every person. It's actually the same. So therefore, it's a product, and you get a gift card, and you can switch that gift card or sell that gift card to someone else. So it doesn't matter who goes into it. And you can also see the other way around. Some companies that are more wiser enough, they're trying to make the other way around, transforming or expanding products into services, and services making them look like experience or really be like experience. And I think the best current example is Apple Computer. Apple, actually, it's not Apple Computer any longer. In the past, it was called Apple Computer. It all started with this product, the Apple. What's the name again? The first Apple II. The Apple II was the first big mass market product that Apple sold. And then later on, the company realized it was not about the computers any longer. It was more about the experience of using the computer. Actually, first, the services, right? They offer great services, a great way of buying them. They start opening these amazing stores where you can play out with their products and also learn about the products with these helpful people around. You have workshops over there. You have you can stay your whole day like you were in a kind of a free Wi-Fi or LAN house. And nobody would bother you and tell you go away. Otherwise, if you don't buy, you just go away. No. In the Apple stores, you really feel comfortable on going there. I think in Brazil, there are very few Apple stores, but this one is from São Paulo. In Curitiba, we don't have Apple stores. We have some... yeah, but it's some kind of a copy in some ways. But they don't have this kind of free space for you to hang around. Like in the... If you go to an Apple store, a real one, you never will be interrupted by one of these blue shirt guys. You just stay there. Nobody will dare to talk to you unless you ask. And if you ask, there are plenty of them, and they will be very eager to help you. That's what a good service or a good experience is about. So they're trying to build up these layers. And in the last Apple keynote, Tim Cook really made the point that services is becoming the main priority of Apple. And especially because Apple is losing money now. Right now, it's not earning so much as it used to earn from selling iPhones. And other companies that offer services like Netflix are really striving and growing a lot. And Apple is trying to make the change to become a major service company. And it's already is a big service company because it has millions of monthly subscriptions for Apple Music and other kinds of video services and so on. And they are probably going to launch, people are speculating, a competitor to Netflix. And, well, there is something even more valuable than experience and services. According to the Experience Economy book, there is a kind of experience that you can distinguish from the other kinds, which is called personal transformations, or just transformations. And I will give you an example of Curto Café in Rio de Janeiro. Huh? Do you know this Curto Café? Well, it's a very interesting place. I will tell you because I was there and I was really, really surprised. I came back from the Netherlands 4 years ago and a friend of mine said, you must go there because it has everything to do what you have been studying last years. And I said, all right, let's go. And I was expecting a coffee shop, but it's not a coffee shop. It's like a coffee community. So you enter a shopping center, and in the back of the shopping center main venue, it's like a big corridor, in the back, there's nothing closing the space. There is just this area, and this is called the Curto Café. And once you get in, you don't know where to start because there is no cashier. There's no person that you can order something, pay, and then get your product or get your service. If you sit down, nobody will come to you and ask, what do you want, sir? No, there's nothing like that. What you get there are people that are willing to become your friend, to talk to you, to enjoy, to engage into community work, for example. These people that are operating machines, they are amateurs. They are people like you that like to brew coffee. And you just go there, you learn how to operate the machine from someone else who already knows, and you start making coffee for people. You're not an employee. It's crazy, right? And then you ask your coffee for them. You ask your coffee them, and you say what you would prefer, and they would not talk about money. And after you're done, you can go away and not pay at all. Nobody will pay attention because nobody's checking if people are paying or not. If you want to pay, then you might realize that there are some instructions over here that tells you how to pay and how much you may want to pay. But it's not mandatory at all to pay. There is a small box over here. It's not shown on the picture. It's completely distant from people on purpose for people not noticing, not being attached to the monetary price, but you can donate how much you want to them. You can pay 5 reais, or you can pay 30 reais, or 50 reais. Doesn't matter. The thing is that they have this blackboard here showing all the costs they have in a month and how much they need to close the month on plus account. And then people just start putting extra money if they are not meeting the goals. So basically, some people, they love it, they play so much, they come so often, they would just put 400 reais a month or something like that, because it's just a community effort. It's a completely different coffee experience. And I would tell you, it's a transformation. It's not just an experience like if you compare to Starbucks. Starbucks have everything customized, but for anyone. In personal transformations, every person gets a completely different thing for himself. The service is different for every person. And actually, the person is part of providing the service. And it's very difficult to say how much it costs. It just can be for one person a lot. For another person, can be much more valuable. So, did you get this point? What a transformation is? So let me show you another examples and highlight what they, how they changed myself in my life, because I went through these experiences. This one was when I visited London, and I joined London street art tour. It lasts for 3 hours. It was very short-lived, but it was very impactful, because the guy who who guided us, he was himself a street artist, and he was taking us through the areas where all the street artists were gathering around and were putting their art into the walls, and he himself could tell which art every artist did and which ones he did himself and the occasion where he was doing it. So some of them are allowed by the owners, but most of them are not allowed. And this guy has to do that once it's on the night, during the night, when nobody's looking at, or during the day, behind a car or behind a bus that they rent just for doing that stuff quickly, and then they just zip around. And he was telling all these stories. It was so rich. He knew every inch of London's underground area. He could tell. And there were a lot of games, like, for example, he brought us to a certain place, and he said, "What do you see here that will not that will really break your expectation of what street art could be about?" And everybody was looking, and we were looking at, of course, a lot of painted artwork on walls, but that was not what he asked us, and nobody could notice that there was a small sculpture on top of a light pole. And the sculpture was a street art piece that was attached to the light pole, embellishing the top of the light pole. And it was a sculpture of a weird Mickey Mouse or something like that. It was really striking. We didn't notice the small details. Said, "Look, London street artists, they are really into it. So you must look for details, because there might be some very small pieces of art." And after that, after the tour, I was walking through the city, looking at all these small details. It completely changed my perception of space. This one was probably the most expensive experience I went so far. It's called Fuerza Bruta. It's an Argentinian collective of artists. And it's really crazy. It's also short-lived. I think it's even last time, it's 1 hour or so. They did all kinds of performances that would break the expectation for what a dance show. It's commercialized as a kind of a dance presentation, but it's completely something other. For example, every time you have a scene, an act in the dance show, you will get a completely different setting. They would alter the setting. And sometimes the stage will be on front of you, sometimes it will be on the back, on your left, on your right, and sometimes on top of you. So this is, I think, was the breakthrough part. The stage came from the ceiling with two dancers dancing on inside water pool, and they could see us because it was transparent. And they were interacting and dancing, and we could touch the water pool and feel their bodies. It's a strange way. Yeah, in other parts of the show, we will just get wet. They would just throw water on us. They would just put off kinds of smells. It was... Forza Bruta means that they really are trying to stimulate us, our senses, in any the most striking way. So that was about it. I get out of this completely stimulated. Everything was looking like, my gosh, life is so amazing. It was really epiphanies. Like I said, why do we have such a, I would say we are having life is that taking away us our wonder from living for most of the time, because everything is put in the box, everything is just dull. And these guys, they really, in 1.5 hours, they said everything can be different, everything can be completely other, and you can really be intensively living your life. That's what I got from this experience. This one is much more calm and peaceful. We were just passing in Teresópolis, it's a small city in Rio de Janeiro, and we saw this sign, Museu do Futuro, Future Museum. So, what the hell? In the middle of nowhere. And we just entered. And here we go. We see a kind of a hippie community. And this guy is telling you all about his experiences with esoteric and spiritual ways of living in the future. And for him, the future was about a peaceful society where everybody would interact freely and they would really be engaged with themselves as they are. And so kind of a really cool stuff. This place specifically is a rounded home. It's completely rounded. And he was showing us that some specific features of this rounded room, that you could talk to someone in the room while another person was talking to someone else in the room without crossing the noise. It was quite a weird way. You just had to talk to the person while hanging on the wall. And the sound would vibrate differently than in a normal squarey space like we are now. The sound would vibrate through the... following the shape of the room. And you would have multiple conversations without feeling that there's too much noise inside there. So it was kind of a very interesting acoustic experience. He tried other kinds of stuff, like for example playing some special bells and some special drums inside this place and showing how this changed your perception of your own rhythms. Like how do you feel your own limbs, your own organs vibrating. It's quite a weird way of experience your body. And I think for me it was really mind-opening. What?
I was just saying that right now I feel like all my organs are in pain.
All right. I'm sorry for that. But I will have some experience about this in just a minute. Another example is transformations can change your self-confidence. It is not a personal experience because this not change me so much, but changes these kids. It's called WAS, We Are All Smart, and it's a very cool social project that tries to bring robotics to poor students from the public community, public schools. These kids, typically they have so much contact with drug dealing and bad behavior and so on, and they bring robotic classes to these kids because this will help them feel that they can have a future through education, through technology, through mastering, through learning something. And they just don't do that. They also have a kind of a framework for putting these challenges, these technological challenges, into a kind of a Asian culture. So they come with this ninja track that you, if you do some part of some kind of a challenges, you get a special how do I say, belt. So you start with a white belt and black belt and so on. And it's kind of a martial arts culture. They use and apply that to technology mastering. Kind of interesting mix up. Transformations can change your social status. My previous employee, Catholic University, they changed 3 years ago the graduation ceremony was in the past up to the students to organize. Currently, the university organizes for all the students, and they make a really big party out of it. It's a big experience, and students are really eager to pass through, and they don't need to pay anything at all extra for that. They call it the American type of graduation ceremony. It has even fireworks and this kind of stuff. Really crazy. But the point of these transformations in a graduation ceremony is a great example of change your status. In the past, you were a student. Now you are a graduate. And then you can really show this to society. And your parents that paid your graduation, they really can feel proud for you. So this is a big deal. And I think it was a very wise way of spending their own money. And this last example is transformation. Actually, not the last, but transformations can change your body. So if your organs are in pain, you can change your organs. If you think about that, health services can be treated as an experience that transform yourself. For example, last year, I had a trouble with my teeth. And I didn't know where it came from. I did a lot of kinds of exams, and I could not identify what was the problem, why I was feeling so much pain. And then one dentist, he just discovered that I had a hidden caries. I don't know if that's the word in English.
Cavities.
Caries.
Cavity.
Cavity. So I had a cavity hidden, and even the X-ray could not detect. And he said, I just have to take your teeth out. Is that all right? I said, go ahead, because I'm getting mad with that. So he just took it, and my life changed. I was really feeling much better. And the strange thing is what the pain was not really constant. It was a very strange pain that only came when I was stressed out. So I thought it was and some of the dentists that I consulted before, they said, it's psychological. I said, no way. And this guy really changed. A small change in my body really made my life so much happier after that. And this, I'm not showing the example of the dentist because I don't think he knows that he has such an impact in my life. But for example, Marcelino Champagnat Hospital really pays a lot of effort to make health services into transformation experience. They even have a tourismologum. I don't know what's the name of that. A guy who's graduated in tourism to welcome not the patients, but the guests. And this guy will treat the person like that person was in a hotel. So the whole hospital is designed to service people as if it was a hotel. It's very furnishing, very beautiful, very everything, and quite expensive, as you would expect. It's not the regular hospitals. If you have the money to go there. It's really nice. I've been there just for looking at, and it's very impressive. I wouldn't expect that in Brazil. This is the last one. Transformations let you be the best version of yourself. This is called Holi Festival. It happens in many places around the world, but I joined the Holi Festival in Nova Gokula, which is a Hare Krishna community. By the way, I follow that belief, and I joined this festival once a year. And what's the matter about this festival? You just gather people around, people are listening to good music, and at some point, people will get a special colorful powder that they can throw at each other's faces or bodies. And they can also paint their own bodies and paint the bodies of each other. And it's basically allowed to interact with strangers. And everybody does that because that's the tricky part. So you would just throw some color in the other person, and then you just run away. And that person will probably follow you. And while you are following someone, you might get colored too. So it's basically a crazy and very happy moment. And that's I believe that it was the best part of me. I would like to be crazy and happy all the time. Unfortunately, I can't not do that. But I still have this memory in my life that really light my heart and makes me trying to be happy all the time. So it basically, it's a very memorable experience for me. So the key questions to ask your users while you are designing for personal transformations is not what are your needs. It's not what which kind of things, what are your problems. It's more about the aspirations. So who you are now and who do you wish to become in the future? And do you think that we can do something about that with design? Yes, we can do a lot. And we don't know the power we have. So people may not know who they are. They may not have difficulties on answering you who they want to become. But even if they start reflecting on that, they would be interested in learning more about themselves. So it's a quite of interesting way of approaching people. Transformations, as I said, are designed to realize and expand users' aspirations. What is an aspiration? It's like this. You look at yourself in the mirror and you see yourself in the future. And sometimes you would like to be something simple, like I would like to be skinner, for example. But some people might look at themselves in the mirror and would think, in a more like metaphorical way, I would like to have more money. I would like to be wiser. I would like to be more mindful. I would like to be happier, and so on. And this is the starting point of a transformation experience design project. How do you talk about aspirations? Human values. Human values are the vocabulary to talk about aspirations. Like, for example, freedom, balance, connection, creativity. All these are human values that you can use these words to talk about the aspirations. Sometimes aspiration is not easy to describe into words, and therefore you may use values to talk about them. And since design embeds human values, it can be considered a moralizing practice. This is a very interesting insight from a professor from the university where I studied in the Netherlands. He is making the case that design is an ethical practice. And an example here is the... is this music coming from here? Hope not. Funny. So this... this is Apple iPods. And the whole point of iPods in the beginning was that you would listen to the music you want to listen and only yourself. So they really made the point and updated the same idea of the Walkman, that you would walk and listen to your own music and not anybody else's music, not being tied to the radio, which is a collective hearing activity. The value underneath the iPod is definitely individualism. So the iPod embeds the individualistic value inside the design itself. And Apple products, typically they have this individualistic value. And that's the reason why Apple failed every time they tried to build social networks. They tried two or three times. And they really failed miserably because they are really good on making people feel individualistic but not feeling collectively tied to each other. So, if design is a moral practice, designers must make ethical choices at the time. But what does it have to do with transformations design? Because if you make all the ethical choices on behalf of people that we use, they would not transform themselves. They would just go through what you have decided for them. But if you make them make those choices, if you allow them to make the ethical choices, they might change themselves, because making ethical choices is actually what transforms yourself. It's not rational in the way I'm showing to you, it's more like intuitive. But what is an ethical choice? You basically must act and you consider your action in terms of morality, will, and agency. Morality is what should I do? Agency, what can I do? And will, what do I want to do? And you basically consider all these three different forces while making your choice. If, for example, you are in a system or in a situation where you cannot do what you want, right? You're just doing something what other people said you to do, you're not making an ethical choice because that person made the choice for yourself. And you will not change by going through that. And therefore, if you do something that is unethical, you might be forgiven in a trial. Because you may say, I just did what my superior told me to do. And this happened a lot during the Nuremberg trials for people that played for the Nazi part in the war, in the Second World War. Because these people, they could not go against their superiors. But sometimes they could. And in that case, those people were condemned to death. Death penalty. So, coming back to the transformation design thing, what is the implication of considering transformation design as an ethical practice? You cannot control the experiences. You must guide them. If you try to control experiences, you get this anti-ethical experiences. And this was a very weird project run by CIA in the United States. For 30 years or so, people thought this was conspiracy theory. But then, after that time, documents arose in the public that really show that the United States tried to control the minds of people using drugs and some kind of training sessions. It's kind of very black, weird part of the history of this country. And not every of the details of this project is already into the public, and most people are not willing even to dig into that part of the history. But they really did crazy stuff like putting people into sense deprivation machines, which is a very dark box. And you put the person over there for days. And then sometimes you stimulate them with some kind of noises or some kind of words or something. It's really like brainwashing. They really try to brainwash people and to learn to check if these techniques worked. Well, the documents that came to the public tells that it didn't work at all. It was a major expenditure of money that didn't bring any result. However, some people, which are conspiracy theorists likeness, they still think that these experiments really get some ideas for the United States military, and they still do them right now. I don't know. I don't believe it. But anyway, it was considered anti-ethical or illegal. And this was really a case of transformation design, a bad one, a dark one that I wouldn't like to do. I would like you to do something more like the Bardo Arante. Did any one of you went there? It's in Florianópolis. It's a bar covered with small post-it. It's not post-it, but it's a piece of paper notes. Every person that goes to this bar, they can leave a message or a poem or anything that they would like to share with anybody else that would come later on to this bar. And you would just attach to the walls or to the ceiling or to any place you could attach. And they would stimulate you to put as much as a piece of paper as you would like. And the place is really beautiful. And if you go there and with enough time, you can spend reading those messages. And they are brilliant. They are really lovely stuff. And this, if they would come and people would tell you, this is the experience, this is what you have to understand, this is your takeaway, probably people would not have so many different thoughts about being there. So how do you design for diverse experiences? You have to go through diverse experiences in your life. So this is a composition I made for myself, like showing all kinds of pictures of being in different places. And I am the person that I experienced myself through all these different situations. And I can bring all this rich experience of my life to the projects I design. So when I'm designing something, I'm relying on those previous experiences. So the best recommendation for you is, if you want to specialize into experience design, is trying to do something different. I have a student of mine who was really radical about this recommendation, said, "Teacher, now I'm committing for doing something different that I never did in my life every day for at least 300 days. And he was really doing that. He was every day trying something different, eating something that he never ate before, or going to some kind of a weird experience that he never went before, doing something dangerous, and he was really into it. And he really completed the 300 days, and he's currently a very successful experience designer. He's leading a team at Use, a startup from Caixa Econômica, which sells insurance services. And it's kind of experiential. I would recommend this insurance service. I have myself for my car. So it's kind of a cool to see how a student really taking these recommendations can really be successful. But I wouldn't say that doing 300 days of different things would lead you to that success, because he did so much more in his life than that. And just an example. So basically, how do I see the experience design process? Well, I couldn't find a model, and I'm working now on thinking a better model than this one. This is the best so far I found. It's using an experimental business school called Chaos Pilot, the pilot of the chaos, right? That's the name of that. It's a really brilliant place to be if you want to go for a different education experience. Go there. It's in Denmark. It's not expensive, but going abroad is always expensive for Brazilians. They have a three-step cycle process for experience design. So you engage people, you find ways to leverage change, and you drive impact. And here you see how do they understand these three different actions. It's completely different than what you would see in interaction design or user-centered design, because the focus of the experience design at Chaos Pilot is to provide this kind of a personal transformation. So you have to relate to people, you have to engage them, and then you have to think about how these people can change the world. And then you drive impact, you use your special powers as designers to help them to organize themselves and do something about it. So, I would say this is uncontrolled, experimental, exploratory, and ethical process. That's how I conceive experience design, especially in the case of personal transformations. So, to finish up this quick lecture, key characteristics of transformations. Introduce different people or different things, spaces, and activities. So, you feel like you are stepping outside of your everyday life. This is very important for you to relate to the world in a different way than you are used to. It breaks your expectation, it breaks your habits, and it may let you be the best version of yourself. And introduce you a motive for changing, which is stronger than the motive for being the same person. This seems like trivial, but it's not. What can motivate you more than just staying on the couch binge-watching Netflix? Yeah, it's very hard. But if you manage to find what motivates you, what can motivate you, and probably if you ask the person what could motivate you to come to go out and do not watch Netflix, that person will not tell you. The person doesn't know. But if you bring the motive, if you materialize the motive to that person, and that person get in contact with that, that person might be like amazed, motivated by that. Motives are not like static things. They are relational things. The motives only exist when there's a relation between you and the motive. If the thing is over there and you never saw that thing, it's not a motive. So basically, the transformation brings you the motive. For example, if you go through some kind of Buddhistic meditational experience, they will bring you some mandalas. And these mandalas, the purpose of them is to introduce higher motives of life. And you would remember and concentrate on those mandala drawings to visualize those complex motives. It's not about the mandala itself. The mandala just materializes the motive. But only after you really are engaged with that motive. It's a kind of a weird thing, but if you meditate, you would understand what I'm talking about. But in the end, the most important thing, it adds meaning to life. It's not just a mindless activity of everyday life. Not just doing something over and over and over like you did every day. It's something worthwhile that you would say, I remember this my entire life and it actually changed my life. This is what a transformation experience is about. And that's what you guys have to do for your final project, right? So I know this is going to be hard. It's probably going to be the hardest project you have doing this class, all right?